be seated. Good morning. Once again, in the gospel, we are reminded of the baptism of Jesus. And if you were with us last Sunday, we visited our baptismal covenant or our baptismal vow. And in our baptism, we renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God. And we also renounce the evil powers of the world, which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God. So we know what we renounce, but what do we receive in our baptism? And what do we receive that helps us renounce the powers of darkness in our world? What helps us to stand firm and not to capitulate to frenzy and violence and chaos? In Corinthians today, you heard that we are called to be saints, not just because we go to All Saints Church, but that we're called to be saints. That means to grow up and be mature in Christ, to become Christ, if you will. And it also says that we are not lacking any spiritual gift. So what are the gifts that we receive in baptism? You can't answer this, Bill. Does anyone know? Yes, new life.
I hope it's the Holy Spirit.
Yes, we get a lot of juju juice from the Holy Spirit, and that is what faith, hope, and love, or sometimes referred to as charity. We receive the gifts of faith, hope, and love. And we get an extra dose at confirmation. But, you know, these just can't sit in a petri dish without a lot of love and care and nurturing. In order for them to grow up and mature in us, we need to give ourselves to the practices laid out in the baptismal covenant, which is the, you know, to participate in worship, receiving the sacraments. And Eucharist is really receiving again and again the gifts that we received in our baptism. And, you know, we don't know very much about this, do we? It's kind of like in today's world, it's almost like drive-by baptisms, you know. Let's get the baby baptized, and then we don't see people for 20 something years. It has to be nurtured in us in order for them to grow up and mature. And these faith, hope, and love also comes the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. And can anyone tell me what the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit are? And I'm not talking about the fruits of the Spirit. That's something completely different. Ralph, you want to take a shot? Yes. Oh, yes. Fortitude. Fear the Lord. Fabulous. Good Catholic boy, no doubt. So, and these are all laid out in Isaiah. Chapter 11 of Isaiah is wisdom and understanding, counsel and fortitude, knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is not a cowering fear of the Lord, as you know in Monty Python. God says, there's nothing that I hate more than groveling. But he's talking about awe and wonder. And then lastly, which is piety. It does not appear in the Hebrew translation, but in the Septuagint and the Vulgate, piety is added. So those are the seven gifts of the Spirit, and they're very much associated with the Beatitudes. And we're only going to talk about one of those gifts this morning, and that is the gift of knowledge. And because it's mentioned in Corinthians this morning, and the gift of knowledge is, Cynthia Bourgeau basically says that it is that we receive knowledge or humility, which is another way to talk about the gift of knowledge, when we understand the scale of things. If you've ever been to the Grand Canyon, the first time you see it, what do you experience? You experience awe and wonder. There is a silence, and we are completely taken up into that experience, and we truly get the scale of things, don't we? We see how minute we are, how small and how grand is the Grand Canyon. We may have a similar experience looking at the heavens and experiencing the scale of things. Understanding God's goodness and love and experiencing the scale of that. In other words, knowledge is very much intertwined with humility. It means knowing our place in the universe. It means knowing that we are here to be relational with all living beings on the planet, not just with human beings, but all living beings on the planet. It's to know that we are here to be in relationship with God's creation, not to conquer it, not to destroy it, not to be superior to God's creation, but to be in relationship and to live in harmony with God's creation. And if there is a gift of the Spirit that we need a big dose of today, it is the gift of knowledge. True knowledge. And it is a kind of knowledge that is very connected with the heart. One of the problems with our educational system today is it's all from the shoulders up. It's the head, as though somehow that we are only a head that is somehow moving around in the world. But the ancient understanding of head and heart was not separate. It was one. The Hebrews understood that the heart included the mind, that they were not separate. That was a Greek notion that has, in many ways, a detrimental effect on our culture today, because they are not separate. Indeed, thoughts spring up from the heart and take hold in the mind. So for science and technology to think that they can think about things without including the heart is a grand illusion and a very dangerous one. It is the heart, which is the organ of perception that allows us to perceive one another. Telepathy. One needs no words if one is connected in the heart. It is a very powerful experience. And the Heart and Math Institute is beginning to be able to measure that. They can pick up wavelengths of the brain only 10 feet from the body, and of the heart 150 feet from the body. And that's just with the tools that know how to measure. We know that one can experience something in the heart and the other person on the other side of the planet can experience the same thing simultaneously. So, yes, we need to develop in us the gift of knowledge, which is humility. And it means knowing our place in the big picture of things. And if we do not know our place, how in the world can we renounce the powers of evil? Because if we do not know our place, we will be sucked up in the powers of evil. We have to know who we are and where we stand, and it is only in humility and love, with the gifts that are given to us in our baptism, that we can counter the forces of evil. Faith, hope, and love. And faith means that deep, abiding trust, not a belief in a concept, but a deep, abiding trust. I watched a movie this week that I encourage all of you to watch. It was put out by the Roman Catholic Church. It's about Saint Maximilian Kolbe, who was a Roman Catholic priest who was killed in Poland at Auschwitz. And his whole demeanor is one of humility. And humility also is that ability to accept things as they are. It doesn't mean that we don't believe that things might change, but in that moment we accept our place in our circumstances. And sometimes we don't like our circumstances. It doesn't mean that we cannot initiate to change those circumstances, but there is a sense of knowing who we are in relationship to God. The gift of knowledge also teaches us that nothing in this world will satisfy us. Nothing. Only God can satisfy the heart. So no status, no particular role that we play, not gazillions of dollars. The only thing that will satisfy the heart is God. And so it is a gift of self-knowledge. It means knowing what our gifts are, knowing our capacity to use those gifts. It also means knowing our weaknesses and our limitations and being able to accept those. In order to open to receive the gift of knowledge, we have to let go of our identifications with whatever roles we have. You know, when we experience trauma in childhood, as every child does to some degree, that programs the unconscious, and the gifts of the Spirit are there to help purify the unconscious. The conscious mind can mitigate to a certain extent, but it doesn't have the ability to transform the unconscious. The unconscious is everything that is not conscious to us. So it's that part, those drives in us. Some people may have a drive to make as much money as they can, or a drive to be as successful as they can. And in and of itself, that's not bad. But we have to know what those motivations are and why we need it so badly. What is driving us from our childhoods that we have to have these things? And that's what the gifts of the Spirit do for us. Is they purify our motivations so that we can be set free. The whole purpose of the development of humility in us is so that we can be free. Freedom is the goal. That we are not held hostage or a slave to any drive in our nature. That is the ultimate gift. And until we are conscious of those things, we can be complicit with the powers of evil in our world. Because we cannot discern what is motivating us. What makes us tick, what makes us move, what makes us go out and do things. It can be even serving the poor or giving money to a nonprofit. We have to know what it is that we're doing. Are we doing this to seek adulation from others, or are we truly giving freely from our heart, whether that's service or giving of resources? So the gift of knowledge and humility ultimately is there to set us free. Thomas Keating says that when we begin to receive the gift of knowledge, it's the beginning of the night of sense, the dark night of the soul, the purification process, where all the unconscious motivations come to the surface and we're like, oh my God, I never saw that before. And the other gift that comes in our baptism is hope, which works hand in hand as well with the gift of knowledge. So when we see these things in ourselves, we can know that we are truly forgiven and that God's grace will perfect in us. Remember in Corinthians it says it will strengthen us to the end, will purify us and strengthen us to the end. God will not abandon us on the process of transformation. No matter how bad we feel, God is not going to abandon us. That's why we need the gift of hope. Hope isn't about outcome. Hope is really that God is faithful to us in the process. So it's important for us to remember our baptism. Why are we here? Why are you sitting in this pew this morning? Why have you come? What are you seeking? What is it you desire? What is it that you desire to offer God? So our commitment in our baptismal vows, and I'm going to have you take out your prayer book again and turn to page 304. And these are not vows that we just read on a piece of paper. They're there to nurture us, to remind us our purpose for being here in community. So after the Apostles' Creed, basically we are asked five questions. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers? And you, will you persevere in resisting evil? And whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will you seek and serve Christ and all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? So these tenets, if you will, are there for something for us to remind that this is what I have called to be. This is my path to sainthood. This is my path to becoming Christ. And if I do not give myself to these tenets, then I cannot mature and, you know, get the divine download of the spiritual gifts and the nurturing. it's just like any plant. It needs water and sunlight and fertilizer. And as Christians, this is what we have to give ourselves to. It's not optional. I'll never forget when I was in seminary and I read by a sociologist of religion. He said that religion in America has become, what did he call it, a leisurely event. So that's how we treat it. It's something we do when we have the feeling of doing it, or it's an, a leisurely activity. But being a Christian is not a leisurely activity. It's not something you do on the side. It is either our life or it's not. And it is a whole process of becoming. And we see what it requires of us in the day and age that we're living in right now. We can't sit on the fence. And so we must give ourselves to fellowship and to study and to prayer, because that's where we get infused more and more with the gifts of the Spirit that enable us to counter the forces of darkness. Amen.